a compassionate, merciful, generous soul, hearing that I had sacrificed a few cans of Spam last week, brought me oven-roasted turkey Spam. So thank you kindly for restoring. It's in a bag, by the way. Gabe, I've got that in my truck, my sacrificed Spam for you. It can stay in my truck? You don't want that. There are, oh my goodness, there are people craving what we have to give. Anyway, thank you for sacrificing this, whoever brought this. It'll never perish. 20 years from now, it's as good as a Twinkie. Yeah. And what's this? 4 keys to finding happiness in your home. Oh, wow. Okay. This is some of the... who brought this? Anybody? You did. Thank you. It's kind of it ties in with the message I brought, that gratitude. Yeah. Gratitude. Shared social values, kindness and compassion, and priorities. Yeah, that'll fit into a message somewhere along the line. Today, we're going to talk about... I just titled this... I couldn't figure it out, I tried all kinds of things and determined to stay on top, keeping above it. Finally decided all is well, all I could do, because it was about living well and talking well and determined to speak well, so it's just all is well. Let's look at Ephesians and grab hold of this. And this is just all about everything being well. Then you want to be blessed? Everybody want to be blessed? Here's one of the avenues to it. And I'm serious. This thing, you've heard it before. You've read it. We don't like it. I don't always like it when I read it or when I preach on it. But it's not as tough as we think. He just starts off with this. And let me read this to you out of Ephesians chapter 4, New International Version. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The problem with this is, you read the first verse and you say, well, I flunked that this week. How do any of you drive on I-10 and keep verse 29? Tell me, somebody in here keeps this, right? You keep it? You don't let a unwholesome word come out of your mouth? You Christian, listen to Christian music all the way down. Oh, and don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but it says everything that comes out is supposed to build somebody else up. And you try to, on that one, you really try to rationalize with the Lord and say, in a way, Lord, I was building them up. Calling them that reminded them they don't want to be that anymore. So, and God doesn't buy it, but it makes you feel better. And so verse 30 says, and do not, this is where the scary part is. Because he's saying here, you do this. If you don't watch what you're thinking in your heart, then saying with your mouth, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and that's why he says in the next verse, and that's the powder keg here. This is the powder keg. He says, watch it. He says, if you're not careful with what you're saying, you can grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And friends, when you grieve the Holy Spirit and you get out of fellowship with God, that's when a lot of junk is going to happen in your life, and you'll say and do things you'll regret the rest of your life. God doesn't leave us. We leave him and we get out of fellowship. And so he's saying, watch what's coming out. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit because you're sealed in him. You have the mark of God. You have the seal of Jesus Christ on you. You're sealed in the Holy Spirit. It'll never be taken away. And he says, and then he goes on to say, and here's some of the stuff you've got to do. This is in progression. He's saying, don't let any unwholesome talk come out because I don't want you to... Paul... God used Paul in an interesting way, right? So academically. And you kind of have to follow with him and say, what's the train of thought the Holy Spirit's using him for here? And it's to say, don't let stuff come out of your mouth, because what's in your mouth is a result of what's in your heart. And you'll grieve the Holy Spirit with it. And so he says, if you don't want, this is what he's saying, if you don't want bad stuff to come out of your heart, then get rid of the stuff that's in your heart. Now he gets down to the core of it. And he says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And I just grabbed a little piece of chapter 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, and as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's plenty. We won't even cover all of that. So just looked at this and said, you know, all right, let's just put it this way. How in your life do you keep it where the you hear that resounding echo, all is well? Back in the old military days, before they had any radios, and we had what we called a PRC-77, and it was on a backpack. You see that in the old movies, the Vietnam movies. It was the first thing the bad guys looked for in enemy country was they looked for that little whip. It had a little flat whip on of an antenna. They looked for that because they knew the guy standing next to the guy with the pack on was the officer. And that was your RTO, your radio telephone operator. And everywhere I went, an RTO went and was right there. And you were grabbing, you reach your hand, you were watching, you're trying to call the shots. And when you reached out your hand, the RTO slapped that little thing in your hand and your own, and you're calling, and you're calling for artillery, fire support, air support, whatever it is you need. And you're directing your platoons, and you're doing all your stuff. But that's the first thing they look for is, where's the whip? And who's holding the little receiver? And that's why it was always such a high casualty rate amongst company line officers. But going back before then, before you had all of that stuff, how did you communicate with your sentries on duty? And if you ever have watched any of the old movies, what they had to do, the sentry would, they usually, if you were guarding a fort back way back in those days, and at certain intervals so that you could keep on top of this, what would they do? They you know, they'd strike the hour, say at 3 o'clock in the morning, and post number one, and then they'd call out, you know, post number one, all is well. And that would echo down post number two, all is well. And that would echo all the way around. And so I was remembering all that, and I thought, you know, that's kind of like in the Christian life. You know, you're holding a post here. You're supposed to be guarding the fort and resounding the call as an assurance to everybody, all is well. I see no enemy. There's nothing happening. Nobody's sneaking around. There's no infiltrators, no guerrilla attack. And so they go all the way around, and then that would be the senior sergeant out there would hear that, and then they report to the officer on duty that all is well. And then two or three hours later, they do it again. All night long, all is well, all is well. Same thing with us, friends. We need to be resounding. You know, my post, God, that you've given me, my position, my place in life, I'm guarding it. I'm guarding my family. I'm guarding my church. As a pastor, I have to report to God. I'm accountable to God to be able to say, God, in the church, there's no division, no strife, no upset. All is well. Post number one, all is well. And you need to be able to really, you see what I'm saying in that sense, be able to say to God, my family, God, my work, what do I do? The ministry you've given me, Lord. Post number two, post number three, all is well. And he said, to do that in the spiritual sense, you've got to be paying attention to what makes it work so that all is well. And so let's begin with just these points here. And the first of those is You know, you're going to have to determine to speak well. That's all there is to it. You'll never speak well if you don't determine to speak well. And we know that to do that, we're going to have to get down in that old heart. And the first thing here, if you're going to let your words mean anything, then there's going to have to be something in your heart for the words to come from. And everybody's just looking at me, thinking, uh-huh, thank you so much. But look at this. If you have any rage, if you have any malice, if there's something you just haven't ever let go of, I guarantee it's coming out in your speech. And you can kid yourself all day long, but it comes out in your attitude and the way you handle things. And I'll tell you when it'll come out the quickest is when you're just not quite on top of. You ever have those bad spam days? Okay, for those of you that are not in the spam crowd, you know, you ever have those days when somebody just serves you spam? When they put it in the back of your pickup and you but you know what I mean? I mean, it's just not, and then how you respond on those days shows what's in here. And that's kind of really upsetting, isn't it? You know, when you have those days when, you know, you just come in and you say, you know, what is going on? Do you ever have any of those days in the kitchen or wherever where everything you grab, you drop? And you're wondering, if I caught something here, am I developing an illness? It seems like everything you pick up, you drop it. Or you unscrew a lid and it flies across the floor. And you go to get the lid and you bend down and you hit your head on the edge of the counter. Has that happened in here to anybody? And so, and there's somewhere in that process, you realize God is checking out post number one. Is all well? And because he's God, you can't tell him what you want to tell him. You know, you're wanting to say, do you think all is well? You know? Are you having a good time up there? Do you have a sense of humor? You ever felt like that? But yeah, oh, okay, thank you for your honesty. Of course you have. We don't want to admit these things, you know, and we're just, and God is saying, okay, I'll just kind of sit back here and let you get through your little spell. And then when you kind of come to your senses, you're going to realize, you know, what's happening here, and that all of these things you're saying that are not unwholesome and that you'd really like to say to me right now or to even, you know, tell me what you think, that's coming from something that's in here. And the reason I let you drop all that stuff, and the reason you bumped your head, and the reason that just this your day is just, is because I want to get your attention and say, have you looked in your heart lately and seen what I see? Have you listened to your thoughts, the thoughts that I, the Lord, hear that you don't even speak out loud? Have you really taken a look to see what's inside? You need to sweep out your house. You need to do a little cleaning. We need some carpets vacuumed in the heart. Is everybody with me? And so that's what he's saying. And yeah, the reason I mentioned this, I had one of these not just a few days ago, and it's fresh on my mind. And everything I did, I just couldn't believe it. And there's nothing like early of the morning chasing the lid that won't stop rolling. And then you go to grab the dadgum thing and it shoots out of your fingers and rolls some more. And then you ram your head into the drawers and the cabinet counter, and you're just having one of those days. And to make it worse, then, I know none of you do this, but instead of taking the lid calmly and screwing it back on, you throw the sucker across the kitchen. Now you can't find it. And now you're not going to mess with it, so you're going to go grab a piece of tin foil, and you're going to wrap, but you tear the tin foil. And okay, yeah, everybody's with me. And now whatever is down at the bottom of the well has come, all the silt and all the stuff that was down at the bottom of the well has come to the surface. And everybody in the world is everything you've ever wanted to say to them. They're not married. They were born in wrong places. And you're just letting it rip by now. And God is saying, Post number one is not well. And you're saying, why? You ever said this? Why does this happen to me? Haven't you? And you probably, I don't think you said stuff, but if you're a real Christian, you did. But, you know, why? And then God is saying, because I want you to see what I see at post number one. I'm seeing my soldier who's supposed to be guarding that outpost, not on duty. You're standing there, but you don't have any ammunition in your rifle. It hasn't been cleaned. Things are not in order. You're not paying attention to your life. Friends, people ask, why does stuff happen? I can tell you, it may not be 100% of the time, but I would be very willing to say 90% of the time stuff happens to reveal to you and me what's really in here. And there's a design to it. Nothing's wasted in the kingdom of God. The whole world out here focuses on me, right? It's me, me, me. Everybody me. All about me. Me in quotation marks. I mean, it's all you hear. It's me. It's all about me. What about me? People go to churches. It's all about me. I have people complain to me. Not from here. Other churches. And they'll say, I'm just so upset in my church, and it's why. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. And I just sometimes, you know, and it's like, well, do you ever think maybe God is wanting that day is for somebody else? Maybe the songs they chose that day was for the other person, and he wants you to pray and support them. Maybe they're somewhere else, and that was meant to minister and open up their heart. Now, I tell you what, I just don't want to go, and I'm not going to give my money to a place, in other words, that doesn't do what me wants. So, God, it's all about me. Make me happy. I'm not trying to be mean here, but that's what happens, isn't it? And then they, you know, and then you start that little me cycle, and there it goes, you know, and you get cranking it. Down the road you go, riding your little me cycle. It's all about me. Put on your little me helmet, and there you go. And life's about me. The whole world focuses on me, and then in Christianity, this is so hard. It is hard, because the influence is there, and there's things we want, and we want to be noticed, and we want somebody to appreciate us, and all these things, and to show gratitude, and then Jesus is saying, I want you to, whoever would come after me, to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to say, life's not about me. When I become a Christian, it's all about Jesus Christ and his people. And I'm here to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And I'm not to look for anything for anybody. I'm to look for my reward. My reward comes from God. I look to God for my reward. So I've got to stand above the crowd here in this. Because with the crowd, all is not well. The Holy Spirit is not here to draw attention to me. He's here to draw attention to Jesus Christ. And as Christians, friends, this is not a beat us up message or anything. This is to get down to the heart of the matter and to say, what's unwholesome in my life? What is not well with post number one, post number two over here? What is it in your home that God is saying, I'm letting these things happen not because I'm mad at you. I'm not angry with you. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to use that to cause enough tension or stress in your life to get you to come clean with me and say, you know what? I'm still bitter from what happened in my life 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm still hurt over that marriage that broke up, or I'm that job thing that went south, or that person ripped me off, or whatever it was. Somebody two-faced me, stabbed me in the back. Life did this, life did that. And that's what God is working. And those unwholesome things, don't freak out about them. Confess them when they happen. But if you can, this whole message is designed to say, when that stuff happens, not if, when you hit your head on the counter When you turn around at the refrigerator and you slam your funny bone into the handle of the refrigerator, that's cussing stuff. Funny bone blasting is cussing stuff, friends. We don't talk this way in churches, but we know it's real. You slam your funny bone and it's not funny. Why do they call it that? What idiot named it a funny bone? That's the least funny thing that can ever happen on the face of the earth, is to hit that right there. The shock runs through. Tremors hit. Your brain goes off somewhere. The whole body. And if there's any unwholesome thing in the heart, it definitely comes out of the mouth. Does it not? Thank you. Yeah, it does. And so what God is doing with all that, he didn't want you to hit your funny bone. He didn't want you to ram your head. He lets things happen, yes. And why, you say, why? Because he wants me to be clean at post number one. He wants me not to be hurt anymore. He wants me to get over my wounds. He wants me to let the barriers down and quit putting a wall up between myself and everybody. He wants me to be a real Christian. He wants Jesus Christ. He wants his son Jesus to flow out of me and his spirit as rivers of living water. And if I have a wall up, I'm containing him. This is a two-edged sword in Christianity. If I have a protective wall up to protect myself, then I'm also keeping the Holy Spirit from fully flowing out because there's a wall. And the stuff that comes out is revealing the stuff that's within. And Jesus Christ is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open that door, I'll come in and do what? I'll sup with you, I'll eat with you, and I'll clean you up. Just give me the hurt. I don't know how many people have said to me these words. Oh, Lord. You know, and some of you might have said them here. Here it is. I'll give it on both sides. I'll never trust another man again. How many times have I heard that? And then on the other side, I'll never trust another woman again. And it's like, sir, ma'am, you're in a lot of trouble. And the very people that say that, now here's the weird part. If you said it, you can talk with me later if you... But the very ones that say that will be the very ones to go jump in another relationship. I thought you were going to trust them again. I don't trust them, but I just want somebody around. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I want them, but I don't trust them. That's going to work. Don't ask me to do you wedding. I don't do that one. You know, I promised to take this man I don't trust as my untrustworthy husband for whatever time it takes for me to get sick of him and leave him. Okay, thank you very much. Those are good vows. And you're the same for her. Okay, very good. This is going to work. God don't bless this mess. Okay, so here we are. Okay, back to this. But you see where we're going with this? You see what God's trying to do here? He's saying, don't let any unwholesome stuff come out of your mouth. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And get rid of all this bitterness, rage, and anger. And we're just hitting these points here to say, why? Because he wants post number one to be well. He wants you to be on duty. Let me tell you something. Do you know one of the things that we always look for when we had on our little boonie hats and our camo paint and we're sneaky peeking and we've got a mission to perform? You know what we're looking for? How to infiltrate the enemy lines? We're observing. We're moving up and down and watching. We're watching these people. It's not like the movies. You don't just come in there and do it. You rehearse these things. And you send observation teams in, recon teams, and you know what's going on. But you find the weak point. You find the sentry whose mind gets preoccupied at about 2 o'clock. By the way, at 2 to 3 in the morning is when people start getting really sluggish. That's why the American soldiers always really like night attacks. Because around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, people are dull. 2 to 4. So anyway, you watch for that guy who's, you know, they're supposed to be walking their beat on their sentry post. They turn, they watch, and they're supposed to see the other guy. But he gets about halfway down, and he's fiddling, and he's looking in his little luminous dome on his watch. He's seeing how much time's left that he goes on duty. He's not concentrating. He takes his turn slowly. What do you think we're looking for? We're right here. And when he takes his turn slowly, we come up, we put that knee in the back, bend him over, and we end of story, and you say, this is awful. Well, I trained to do it. That was what I did. Before I was saving people, I trained to kill them. Okay, so I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it was. I laugh about it, but God took me from that and said, no, I don't want you doing that anymore. I want you to lead them to the Lord. That's much more pleasurable to the Lord. But anyway, do you see what I just described? I'm not trying to be gross. I'm trying to sing. That's exactly what the devil's trying to do, and he's trying to get you so preoccupied with stuff that he can get you, that he can lead you into temptation. He wants you mad. He wants you hurt. He wants you holding old grievances. He wants unwholesome, rotten stuff in your heart, so unwholesome, rotten stuff come out of your mouth, so you get a little sluggish on your guard duty. You're a soldier of the cross. We all are. And we've got to stay alert. Because the enemy out there, we're not to fear him, but we're to be aware of his tactics and his ways. And he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And who's he going to get? The guy, the woman or man that's sharp on duty, in the word, praying, got it ready. No. You're looking for the one who's goofing around and deep in thought, worked up in a lather over something that happened 20 years ago. I mean, do you ever just look at yourself and say, why am I still reliving this? They're off having a good time and I'm over here still reliving it. Let it go. Have a Garden of Gethsemane experience, and if the sweat has to drop, come down as drops of blood, whatever it takes, seriously, get in there and get it out. Turn it loose. Give the sorry sucker to God. Let him take care of them. He said, vengeance is mine. By the way, that word, I can't belabor this too long, but that word unwholesome, it says don't let any unwholesome talk. That word also means corrupt. But in the Greek, here's what it means. The word unwholesome in the Greek, as it was used here, means rotten and causes rottenness. That'll get you, won't it? They should have just put that in there. Don't let any rotten and causing rottenness words. That wouldn't sound right, but anyway, you got it. He said, don't let anything that's rotten and it causes rottenness in others to be in your mouth. What does that mean? Because it means something's really molding in your heart. And it goes above that bad language. It goes to all the stuff that comes from the heart. What comes from the heart? Does gossip come from the heart? Slander? Sure. You know why? You know what causes most gossip? Tony, you're meddling. Don't go too far here. Okay. When people have to run down other people, they're insecure. They need an ego boost. They don't want to admit it, but a lot of times when someone's really on to somebody else and they're just running them down, they're extremely intimidated by them and they're jealous of them. It's true. You say, do you have to do this in your work? Oh, yeah, I have to deal with it all the time. I have to say to people, why, I ask them, why are you so down on this person? Oh, they're no good and all that. One of the questions I ask is, is this person bringing out something that you don't like about yourself? This person that you say, I just can't stand their attitude, I can't stand them. Are you not seeing a little bit of yourself in there, are you? Just a little bit? Is that why God is letting this all happen in your life? I'm not being mean, and God's not being mean. So let's move on. You're saying, yeah, let's move on. Golly, is there another point here, Tony? Whew, that's enough of that one. So we get the idea. When something comes out, don't be so shook up and just confess it, but let God go deeper and say, I keep having this temper and I keep saying these words over and over. What in the heck is stuck in here? God revealed that to me. The scripture says, David prayed this. He said, Father, Lord, search my heart and know me and what? Reveal to me any unclean thing. Every one of us ought to pray that all the time because we're not aware. God, show me what's in my heart that I'm not aware of. And don't let, and I add to this because I have to. Don't let my stubborn pride get in the way. Because I might not want to admit to you what you reveal to me. So take that out. Okay, secondly, you're going to determine to speak well. We'll determine to live well. Live well. Colossians 3, you don't have this, I'll just give this to you, says, since you've been raised with Christ, well, set your heart on things above. You can read this, this first part of chapter 3. Set your heart on things above. You're raised with Jesus, keep your hearts raised with Jesus. Jesus raised you from the dead when you asked Jesus in your heart, right? So why don't you keep your heart there? Don't get it back on this earth. Everything on this earth is going to be burned away. This thing's going to go away. Probably sooner than anybody thinks. And I'm not out here. I'm not one of those. But I'm telling you, I just see too many signs being fulfilled, too much prophecy coming together. Don't take it for granted. And stay right with the Lord. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what really grieves him? This injurious talk and an undisciplined lifestyle, the stuff that's in the heart that causes you not to not be on duty. You know what the Holy Spirit's purpose is? Here it is. I'll give you some of this. This is good stuff. The Holy Spirit's purpose is, first of all, to live in you. Then to live through you. And to keep your heart and mind filled with Jesus Christ through his word, through his prompting. He's here to protect you and teach you and mold you into who Jesus Christ wants you to be. He does all those things. But his purpose is to speak through you. And how's he going to speak through us if what's coming out of our mouth is not glorifying to God? So he has to be living in our heart, which means we need our heart cleaned out so that what comes out of our mouth is glorifying to God. And the blessing from that is the Holy Spirit will use you to touch other people, to help other people, to change other people's lives for the good. And it's worth it. It's some pain to let God examine and get it out and confess it and repent of that old rotten stuff. But how neat it is when Jesus Christ comes in and there is a joy that flows out of your heart. Because that joy is in your words. There's life again. And you start living. You draw others to Christ through the Spirit that's within you. I get excited over that. I say, you know, it's worth it to get all the old junk out. And then determine to be well. Determine to be well. You know how one of the best ways, the best approaches to good health is get rid of destructive feelings. Dadgummit, quit talking so negative. Well, it's been in my family. My great-grandpa died of that, and grandpa died of that, and dad died of that. I'm going to die of that. You know what I say when I hear that? Yep. You're a goner already. Let's just go ahead and get your death certificate, and I'll fill it out when you fall over. Now, I've had that. Now, people say, cholesterol's in my family. Blood problems are in my family. Well, they may be. So who in Jesus' name is going to stop up and say, it stops here? And I know, here's all the scientists and the geneticists and all these people, and they're saying, you can't change your DNA. You can't change what is. And it's like, did you ever go back and read about God and Noah and arks? You think God can't change what is? You ever read about David and Abraham? You ever read about Moses? You ever read about God's people out in the wilderness? You think God can't change what is? What about Jesus walking up to him? There was a widow. You know, we don't ever hear this story. I have to bring it in a message one of these times. Well, I'm bringing it in now. Okay, there you go. Thank you. Okay, got it. I said, do you talk like this to God? Yeah, I do. He just breaks in on everything with me. Now, here we go. There was Jesus walking along, there was a lady, and all the widows were crying, and he's observing this, and it was her only son. Does anybody remember the story? It's just a little piece in there. We miss it because of all the other stuff. But get this. Jesus walked up, and there's that boy, he's gone, and it's only, she has no one else to take care of her. He touched that boy and raised him to life, gave him back to his mother. Now that's the God we serve. You think Jesus changed his DNA? I bet he did, didn't he? That boy died and Jesus changed it and brought it back to life. Your DNA and all that you're programmed to be or not to be, when it comes to Jesus Christ and what he can do, you give it to him. And he can heal you and do things in you. And he can stop family, generational diseases, generational sins. By the way, many of you are suffering because you're under generational sins. Some call it a curse. But you're under the influence of generational sins. It's been passed on. Jesus, this goes back in to the Old Testament when God said the sins of the parents are visited to the third and fourth generations. And many of you, you say, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep being tempted over here? You may be under a generational sin and you need to stand there in the authority of Jesus' name and rebuke that and come against it and end it once and for all. And be set free from it. And be set free from the fear that you're going to die of this or die of that. I'm going to tell you about dying. Don't gear yourself for it. Fight it. Live. Live with a clean heart. Live with a life that's surrendered to God. Let God be in charge of that. I'm telling you, all the men in my family have cholesterol problems. Been told by doctor after doctor, well, you've got this family history. Oh, yeah, and all of them are on blood pressure medication, and they're all taking cholesterol medication. So, Tony, what do? 20-some-odd years ago, the doctor put me on Lipitor. The Lipitor hurt me so bad I couldn't lift anything. I couldn't move. My body was just in pain from Lipitor. Maybe if you're on it and it hadn't hurt you, okay, fine, great. It did me. The rest of my family's on that stuff. It didn't bother them. God had a different plan for me, and I went to a little seminar here in Bernie, and there was a doctor there, an MD, that was also using holistic medicine to treat people. I went up to him after it was over and I said, I want to tell you, here's my problem. I said, I can't lift a bale of hay. I can't lift in the house. I can't even carry two gallons of water, and I just hurt. And he said, okay, what statin are you on? He knew all. And I said, Lipitor. And he just held up that finger and he said, get off that now. And I said, okay. He said, I've seen so much liver damage and this and that and that. He said, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And he said, you can go right down here to the health food store and buy you a bottle of red yeast rice. Red yeast rice, okay. You know? I did, and he said, you get on that. I want you to start taking really good fish oil, flaxseed oil, and then I started taking some other stuff he gave me. And folks, 1 year later, my total cholesterol was 256. 1 year later, it was 183, and the good cholesterol now went up, and the bad cholesterol went down, all with natural, and I've never been on another statin, and even though my whole family is, everything else, and every time I go for my blood check, it's still down there. That's God. Did he change a family thing? Yes, he did. And I thank him for it. And that's the medication I take. Am I telling you that this will do the same for you? I'm not telling you anything. I'm telling you this is what worked for me. But I'm saying this. It's not the doctor that did it. It's not the red yeast rice and the stuff he put me. It was God saying, this is where I'm breaking this family thing from you. You are not going to live under it anymore. And when the doctors tell you, well, your family, I've had them to say that since. Well, your family history is this, and you don't have that. What, your blood pressure is 123 over 70. What is that? And I tell them, that's God. That's God. That's what God can do. And that's all I'm interested in. And when they say to me, that just doesn't make sense, you should be on, it's like, I refuse to receive that. In Jesus' name, I'm not buying that junk. My body is God's temple. And if I do my part with it, I have found out God is more than willing to do his part. It's true. So start living. And realize, you know, if you're speaking, you speak what you feel. And listen to me. Bitterness opposes kindness. Just keep that in mind. Anger opposes love, and you're going to have to fight it. And same thing, that may be a generational thing, whatever it is, it's time to bring it to the Lord and get over it. I have a little cousin, not a cousin, a little, I don't know what she is anyway. She's my sister's daughter. What does that make her? That's my niece. Thank you very much. Okay. And she's pretty young, you know, she was pretty young, but I know this has been around, but she got this in school, I guess, and somebody was whang, and girl said, you know, my sister, she told me about it, and I've remembered it since, and there's that little kid, right, and she just stopped the whole family with this thing, but they were going on whining and crying about a bunch of junk. And she just, this little kid just suddenly sits up from her chair. She says, oh, why don't you just cry me a river, build a bridge, and get over it? Hey, that's pretty profound. I told her, I don't think that was your kid speaking. God said, out of the mouths of babes, I'll speak. And I've remembered it ever since. And I wanted to use it a lot of times in talking to people, but I knew it'd offend them highly. But it's like, why don't you just cry me a river, then build a bridge and get over it? And you know, sometimes we just practically need to do that. Okay, come on, get mad, cry it out, and then build a bridge and get over it. By the way, there is a bridge. I hadn't thought of this, but I am now. It's like, oh, this is not in the notes, is it? None of this is. But suddenly it just came to me, and that's how God speaks, right? And God was saying, I've already built a bridge. I built a bridge over these tears and this anger and all this junk. It's called Jesus Christ, and I bridged that gap. Why don't you just walk over it? And he has, hasn't he? He's already got you a bridge. It's time to walk over it. And I'd leave a bunch of stuff, all this junk, with the Lord. I'll close. Aren't you glad? Here we go. In closing, determine to just produce wellness in others. Stay well. Determine to stay well and produce well for others. I think I put stay well in the notes. Determine to rise above the crowd out here and be different as God's people. Overcome this world by really surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and experiencing His joy and His love and His goodness, His kindness, His mercy, His grace. I want to tell you something. Quit accepting what other people tell you about yourself. And just buy into the love of God in Jesus Christ. He says your body is His temple. Temple of living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, why don't you buy into that? Why don't you say to Him, I belong to you. What do you want me to eat? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to wear? But most of all, God, search my heart and know me. What do you want me in here to be wearing? So that post number one, I can say all is well. All through the night, all is well. And I can lie down with you, Lord, and sleep in peace. And I can wake up with you, Lord, and walk in love, because all is well. Father, search our hearts and know us. Reveal to us anything that's unclean. Take this pain, resentment, rage, anger, hurts, fears, oh, the stories we write in our head. Take it. Take it. We just bring it to the cross to empty out this rottenness so that rottenness doesn't come out in our speech. So that, Father, from the heart, out of the heart, will flow rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit of God, so that there's wholeness and holiness and purity and righteousness that we can be and do and live well and help others to produce that wellness in other people. God, take away in Jesus' name the authority authority of Jesus' name, we come against and rebuke and bind our generational sins and diseases and sicknesses. We come against the strongholds in the authority of Jesus' name. We come against the strongholds of the devil, the world, the flesh. We command them broken, shattered to bits, under the power and authority of Jesus' name, and we pray the blood of Jesus over us, cleansing us, protecting us, healing us, setting us free. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Bless you, bless you. God bless you for being here.